All right, it is 10 a.m. on January 25th, 2022. We are meeting here in room 303 at 61 South Main for our commission meeting. I've asked Commissioner, sorry, Councilwoman Anika Peterson from Clearfield City to lead us in the pledge. Councilwoman?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always good to have some visitors. We appreciate Clearfield City, so we thank you. We'll move on to our public comments. We'll ask those in the public to please come up and state their name, the record, and where they're from. We'll ask them to keep it to 3 minutes. And then after that, I'll ask Commissioner Kamala to read the comments that we've received online. For those in the public, please.
My name is Michelle Scharf, and I am a declared candidate for the Clerk Auditor's Office. Over this past weekend, I've been collecting my thoughts on Davis County elected officials to contemplate the structural changes to our county by the splitting of the Clerk Auditor's Office. During my time as a resident of Davis County, I often looked for ways that I can help support my community. I looked at running for Clerk Auditor as a way to use my talents for the betterment of our communities. And I believe that through strong leadership and transparency, I would be able to improve the efficiencies and integrity of these offices. While Commissioner Stevenson, Kamalu, and Elliott look towards splitting the Clerk Auditor office, it appears that not all avenues have been fully discussed or considered. I have been disappointed to see that discussions regarding this decision have been in closed meetings or meetings that were not properly disclosed to our Davis County citizens, as stated by Commissioner Kamalu in last Thursday's meeting. The most fiscally responsible and plausible solution is to continue to look forward to additional efficiencies and to see where leadership is lacking. Exactly the purpose and opportunity an election provides. The commissioners are well aware that it would be less of a burden to our taxpayers to fill the gaps with part-time employees than to pay the salary of what would now be two elected officials. Since this solution is not on the table and no one is blinking an eye, I can't help but wonder if the timing of this new ordinance should not come into question. Splitting the office needs more budgetary considerations as well, since not only will be adding an elected official, but there are potential needs which this new ordinance does not provide in current budget. The initial filing date for gathering signatures began on January 3rd, which technically is the soft declaration of candidacy. 1 week after I filed for the Clerk Auditor office, our commissioners essentially decided for our residents that they know what is best in Davis County's interest and therefore are willing to intervene in an election process. One must ask, why now? While I accept the terms that Brian McKenzie sent me yesterday regarding my use of already gathered signatures being applied to the office for which I choose to run, I do not approve of the process that the Commission and Clerk Auditor have taken to disrupt this election already in process. When I ran in 2014 for the commission, before any of you were in office, I ran on a platform of leadership, transparency, and making the commission meetings recorded, live, and accessible to citizens. While it was not rolled out and promoted in the way that I envisioned, my ideas were acted upon. When I lend my voice to the discussion, positive changes have taken place in our community. I make a difference just in the act of showing up and participating in the process. I am committed to running for office, and I will continue to fight for transparency and leadership in our county government, and I look forward to having the hard conversations that need to take place. Thank you.
Yes, Michelle.
Good morning. My name is Rhonda Perks. I am here representing Congressman Chris Stewart. I just come today by way of a little update. I wanted to share one piece of legislative news with you. I know it's been a few weeks since I've been up here to give an update. So at the very beginning of January, there was a bill introduced by Congressman Stewart and a Democratic colleague of his in Congress, Representative Krishnamurthy, who is from India and has a really unique understanding of international politics and policy. The intelligence community on the federal level received some information in December that the People's Republic of China was using some ports in the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. We're using some commercial ports for political gain, political purposes, and military use that they shouldn't have been doing. So this bill requires a report to be given to the joint intelligence communities from Senate and Congress to gather information on that from the Director of National Intelligence. So, as usual, Congressman Stewart is trying to remain abreast of all of the things that are happening on the international stage militarily. So, we'll see if that goes anywhere. Congress has not voted on a lot recently, and I think Mr. Stewart would like to see more things come to the floor. That has not been the case in the last several months. He'd like to see more votes and feels like it's the responsibility of Congress to take a look at bills and vote on them. And there's just not been a lot of opportunity for that lately. So that is a concern, and we are hoping that that trajectory changes sometime soon. So we'll see if this bill moves, and I'll try to keep you updated on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to come forward at this time?
My name is Nika Peterson, and while I do so long, with the help of the
they
reporters,
get mad at us
there
we
go. It's so true. Even though I serve on Clearfield City Council, I am here as a private resident, and my opinions are solely my own. In September of 1980, fun fact, two airmen at a Titan II missile silo in Damascus, Arkansas, were on a routine training mission. They were there simply to service one of our ICBMs. Regulations had changed recently, and they were supposed to use a torque wrench instead of a ratchet. But they made a simple mistake. They were already geared, they were below deck, and it seemed difficult to go back, take the time, and to correct that. So instead, they proceeded with it. The only problem is that the 8-foot ratchet, or a socket on the end of the ratchet, fell free 80 feet, puncturing one of two hypergolic chambers. In trying to correct that over the next 12 hours, the remedy steps would cause that to explode. The 740-ton door would be ripped off of that, and a Titan II 9-megaton nuclear warhead would be discharged. It would kill and injure severely the people in that area, and we came this close to losing half of Arkansas. So why do I bring this up? Nothing they did, I think, was with malice, but it was without forethought, and there were unintended consequences that had disastrous impact and created a broken arrow incident. I come here with the strongest objection to bifurcating the office of clerk auditor now that this has already begun. I don't think, and I just in knowing the commission, there's any ill intent, but I think the unintended consequences of choosing to pull the trigger once the election cycle has already begun will create a Damascus incident within the county. I raise a couple of points. Number one, we've moved the finish line, and even though state statute allows you the legal latitude to do this, we've now muddied and sullied and called into question the ethics of doing such. If we can, should we? Second of all, as been noted by other public comments today, there is no public record that's available to go back and to be able to look and examine and become educated on the process. I've tried over the weekend, and going back the last 12 months, there is nothing in the public record that allows me to come and understand more of that process. And from the public comments in the Thursday work session, there has been apparently very little discussion as far as the impact fiscally, salaries, distribution of duties, job descriptions, to name just a few. This disadvantages anybody who would like to enter that race, either because they've lost time in perhaps looking at a separated job that they may not have felt qualified to have taken on, or disadvantages them coming through the convention process now because they are coming into an election cycle with not a lot of absolutes. What is my job description? I don't know. What is my salary? I don't know. These are but some of them. I have no opinion as to whether or not you should do this, simply to ask you to do it correctly.
Okay. You time yourself.
That was good time.
That was dang. Way to go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Daniela Harding. Although I am currently serving as the Davis County Republican Party Chair, I come here as a private citizen today. Last week, when this meeting, the special commission meeting, was noticed on, I believe it was January 19th, it was noticed at 12:33 p.m. Public commenting was closed at 5 p.m. I myself did not find out about that meeting until 7 p.m. and I was not aware of what the intent of the commission was. As somebody who is in charge of convention, this is a big deal. We are now splitting the offices essentially mid-election cycle. And I have candidates come to me and ask me the questions that Mika just asked. They want to know exactly how much is this going to pay, what exactly the duties of this office are. And as chair of the party, I want to be prepared to tell every single candidate what's expected of them before they sign up to run. Now, I have no comment in terms of whether you should do this or not. But I do think that the timing of this is very ill-timed. And as a county party chair and as a private citizen, I would appreciate transparency. I would appreciate notice with things of this latitude. I have spent the last 5 days fielding phone calls from many, many, many irate Republicans over this. And what do we do now? So, please do not make this decision lightly. If this decision is made today to split the office, I would ask for complete transparency with the commissioners, with the clerk auditor, to know exactly what is going on. And I also hope that this mistake, calling a special commission meeting in this fashion, would not be repeated. This, I think, could have been avoided. And I appreciate all that you do, and I appreciate your time in listening to my comments. Please take them into consideration.
All right. Any others?
Commissioners, I just got notice that our streaming service is not working right now. We have 15 people waiting in the viewing room, so I provide that as
right,
information.
Do we know
why it's not working?
We have no idea why it's not working. When we started?
It hasn't streamed. It was all set to go, and it just keeps circling. It won't go.
Can we bring up one of the information services techs?
Looks like that is calling.
Are there any other members of the public who'd like to come forward?
Does that mean that this has not been recorded at all?
Well, we are recording up here as far as that goes, and I. Video.
And this recording is working.
The recording is working, and it will be posted on the public notice website.
No video.
Correct. Yeah. Until they get that working again.
Well, I guess I'll just have to make sure I speak up. My name is Tyson Plasto. I live in Layton, Utah. I'm a certified internal auditor. I hold a certification in risk management assurance, which is a fancy way of saying I can audit. I've taken some tests and can audit some things. First off, I don't want to speak regards to the process of how we got here, but where we're at, I appreciate it. I'm almost giddy for the separation. An effective, independent, and an objective audit function is the ROI is there. It's a valuable investment for any organization, whether private or public, and that we are taking the effort to separate these offices of the clerk and the auditor offices, I think is great. I think that that leads to that independence. You can't really effectively get in and audit something, review it and get into the details of this is how we should do things better. If you have other duties, you can't really audit yourself and say, you know, this is how we should do better. You can't, according to any audit standards that are accepted, you know, nationally or internationally at least. And you can't be as objective in that role if you have those other duties and responsibilities. I think in order to make that truly effective, state statute allows the commissioners to kind of remove accounting duties from that auditor office. That auditor office should be, if it's truly effective, independent, and objective, it should not have any other duties other than to perform audits. Special purpose audits, performance audits, financial audits. It should be straight up auditor. It should be, in order to be effective, it should be someone that has a designation such as a CPA or a CIA or something along those lines, where they are, in a sense, kind of like an assessor, where you have a certification showing, look, you can do what you can do. You can get in there, you can function, you can run this office. We don't just elect just anybody who's willing to serve as the county attorney. In order to be independent, objective, and effective, it should be someone that has no other office, has no other duties, has the certification to be able to audit with the nationally and internationally recognized standards. And as far as costs, there's already an audit function going on right now. There's a clerk auditor, right? And so whether there are increased costs or not, I can't speak to that. You would know better than me. But I can say that in my professional experience, when I have seen an investment in an effective, independent, objective audit function, that the return on investment is there. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other members of the public? Commissioner Kamala, would you mind meeting some of the public comments we got from online?
Yes. Let's see.
I can go for Reese.
Reese is, I think, the only one. Michelle, have you been able to state what you wanted stated in the public meeting?
I wish it was recorded live.
Yeah, it is recorded, just not streamed until they get that fixed. But yeah, okay. Because you also had put it in, but I didn't. It doesn't say for sure.
You have an email that we have as well. Do you want that read in the record?
I don't. Oh, no.
Okay.
Okay.
That was just for you guys.
They printed it for us up here, but I didn't think you needed it read in. Okay.
That was just a personal note regarding the process.
Very good. Thank you. Yes, the one that has been asked to be read is this one from Clearfield City Council member Carice Thompson. Came in Monday, January 24th at 12:19 p.m., so in the middle of the night. Dear Commission, with much respect and consideration to the comments made regarding this ordinance, I disagree with its passing. I would hope that this ordinance can be considered in 2023 when an election cycle is not occurring for the office in its current form. I'm concerned of the message such a change would send during this time. A message that basically rewrites the rules and roles of this office at a time where people continually question the faith of our elections. The discussion on this change, from what I have observed, was not discussed at all in 2021, when such a potential ordinance would have been more appropriate. I would personally be in favor of keeping the office as is and hiring more full-time staff if needed. Also, I'm concerned that any challenger who is actively working for this office could pursue injunctive relief, as the recognized start of this cycle started in early January, when the intent to gather signatures were declared by candidates across our county and great state. County legal resources should not be used for an action that could have been prevented with better timing and transparency regarding this discussion. Thank you for your time, Carice Thompson. Thanks to him also.
Okay, all right. Any other public comment then, real quick? Okay, we'll move on down to our business and action items. First on the business and action items, Director Ashley Young from Animal Care.
Thank you, Commission. The first item on our list today is the amendment to the interlocal cooperation agreement for animal services with Clinton City. This is a receivable in the amount of $109,964.20. This agreement did begin on January 1 and goes through December 31 of 22. The next item is the amendment to the interlocal cooperation agreement with animal services with South Weber City. This is a receivable in the amount of $24,127.78, beginning January 1, going through December 31st of 2022. The third item is the amendment to the interlocal cooperation agreement for animal services with Kaysville City. This is a receivable in the amount of $90,954.44, beginning January 1 and going through December 31st of 2022.
Good. Commission, any questions?
No, actually appreciate getting these done.
Thank you. I move approval of items 1 through 3 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, moving on to Clerk Auditor's Office, Curtis Koch presenting.
Yes, Commissioners, you have for your consideration the annual agreements with Utah State University Extension payable in the amount of $251,874. You also have for your consideration the annual amendment with Davis County Behavioral Health for the comprehensive mental health services for this county, totaling $1,971,700.
Okay. Very good.
I'll make a motion to approve items 4 and 5 presented to us by Curtis Koch.
I'll second the motion.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, moving on to item number 6. And 7, request to cancel regular commission meeting on February 15th, 2022 and May 10th, 2022 as we have conferences out of town and the commission won't be available. Then moving on to the adoption of ordinance separating the consolidated office of Clerk and County Clerk Auditor Office of Davis County beginning the first Monday in January 2023 through the first Monday in January 2027. And we do have that ordinance here. Do we need to read that into the record?
Why don't we do number 6 real quick?
Okay, let's do number 6.
I'll make a motion. We approve item 6, the cancel regular commission meetings on the 15th and the 10th of May 2022.
What did you say?
Let's go ahead and let's do this number 6.
I will second that motion. Thank you.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Now moving on to number 7.
And just to note that the streaming is live now. That's great. Thank you so much.
Okay, so it's been noticed, Neil?
Yeah, it looks like it's been posted, right?
Been posted.
So if you want to read it into the record or just note that it's out there.
Well,
you want to read it?
Read it and read it.
Okay, this is the ordinance that would split this. An ordinance amending Chapter 2.16 of the Davis County Code to separate the consolidated offices of the Davis County Auditor and the Davis County Clerk. Whereas the Davis County Board of Commissioners, as a Davis County legislative body, have previously adopted an ordinance consolidating the office of Davis County Auditor and Davis County Clerk. And whereas the Davis County legislative body has met in a regular meeting, lawful notice of which was provided, among other things, to consider amending Chapter 2.16 County Clerk/Auditor of the Davis County, Utah Code of Ordinances, parentheses, that's the Davis County Code, to separate the previous consolidated offices of the Davis County Auditor and the Davis County Clerk for good cause and to promote the overall efficiency of Davis County government. And whereas the Davis County legislative body is authorized by law to enact an ordinance to separate previously consolidated offices of government, and whereas the Davis County Commission has considered the increased demands placed on the combined elected positions of the clerk/auditor due to the growth of Davis County and other changes in responsibilities of these offices since the combining of these two offices in 1989. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the legislative body of Davis County, State of Utah, as follows. Section 1, Chapter 2.16 of the Davis County Code is amended to read as follows. Section 2.16, County Auditor and County Clerk. Section 2.16.010, Separation of Offices. In accordance with Section 17-16-3, 1 of the Utah Code as amended, the Davis County Board of Commissions hereby separates the offices of the Davis County Auditor and the Davis County Clerk. Section 2.16.020, Term. A. County Auditor. The term of office for the Davis County Auditor shall be, after elected in the general election of 2022, a term of 4 years, commencing on the first Monday in January 2023, through and including the first Monday in January 2027, with each term to be 4 years thereafter until modified by the Board of Davis County Commissioners. B. County Clerk. The term of office for the Davis County Clerk shall be, after elected in the general election of 2022, a term of 4 years, commencing on the first Monday in January 2023, through and including the first Monday in January 2027, with each term to be 4 years thereafter until modified by the Board of Davis County Commissioners. Section 2.16.030, County Financial Responsibilities. The following duties and responsibilities shall be performed by the Davis County Auditor. A. Act as budget officer as defined in UCA annotated 17-36 Uniform Fiscal Procedures Act for counties. B. Perform all countywide accounting services as established by ordinance. And C. Serve as or assign an employee of the offices to serve as the county purchasing agent. Section 2, Notice of Election. The clerk/auditor is hereby directed to publish a notice in the Davis Journal and the Ogden Standard Examiner declaring that the Davis County Commission has separated the offices of county clerk and auditor, that these offices shall be filled in the general election of 2022, and persons may file for the office of Davis County Auditor or Davis County Clerk during and in accordance with the regular filing periods and requirement for 2022 as established in Utah Code Title 20A. Section 3, Conflict. To the extent of any conflict between this ordinance and any other Davis County ordinances, resolutions, regulations, or otherwise, the provisions of this ordinance shall control. Section 4, Effective Date. This ordinance shall take effect pursuant to Section 17-16-3, parentheses 3, parentheses B, and 17-53-208, parentheses 3, Utah Code annotated. That is basically taking the vote between the three commissioners.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Stevenson. Right, that has been read into the record. Looking for a motion or any comments.
Go ahead, Doug. Go ahead.
Yeah, I you know, it's interesting on these things because I think that the comments that have been made by everyone are very good. I mean, we've heard, you know, those that think it's the right thing, those who have, I don't know if I've heard anybody say that it's the wrong thing to do. There's been a little bit of concern as far as the timing goes with that question on it. Part of what we've learned in the, Neil Geddes can maybe help us if this is, if I'm out of line for saying this, is that we have seen over the past 2 years, really, as far as this goes, is the workload there for myself. I speak only for myself on this, with the workload that has taken place in these two offices, to where I've actually had discussions with the clerk auditor and also with the deputies about the amount of work that is there. You know, this county back in the late 80s when this was changed and combined, this county is realistically more than doubled in size as far as it goes. The election process has completely changed as far as that goes. The amount of things that the auditor on the audit side does is immensely larger than what's there. And so, you know, it's one of those things to where I guess if we would have brought this up in November, there probably would have been some questions. But from my personal standpoint, I look at this as that we do need to make a change, because whomever, if we were to stay the way it is, if we stayed that way, whomever became the next clerk auditor, whether it's the present one or someone else that through the election process, is that we probably would start to have concerns also. It's a 4-year process before we could do it again. And once a person's in term, we can't just change that, if I'm not mistaken on that, Neil. And so this is why I think that we need to, you know, we from our standpoint, with what we see with basically running the county, I mean, we're the ones that right now are in the responsibility of making these decisions. And we do absolutely want public input. It's good to be able to learn and hear from everyone. But we also are the ones who are basically working here, and it's part of our responsibility. And as far as meetings, I mean, Danielle, as you questioned the amount of time, I know we were within law ordinance with what we did, even though I guess, you know, we could have done more as far as that goes. But I don't know if realistically that would have changed much. Part of what we wanted to do was to try to get this in place as quickly as possible. That's kind of, you know, my thoughts and where I come from on this. I mean, I don't know if the Rena Randy wants to add anything on it.
Public comments closed. Commissioner Kamala?
Yeah, happy to address the really good comments and input. And thank you so much for watching and caring and commenting. As Commissioner Stevenson said, it is the responsibility of three commissioners to act in the best interest of Davis County. And there were not any breaks of open and public meeting law, because any single commissioner can do due diligence and have conversations with any other elected. In fact, we are actually assigned as liaisons to elected officials. And there's a public document that's been in the commission for many years that shows the liaison assignments. And so open and public meetings include the budget season. And when I was a commissioner-elect, and those budget meetings happened for a full week in October of 2018, I attended that entire week. And during that year that I was in campaign, I attended, I believe, all but two commission meetings to learn and to observe and to watch and to hopefully, as best as I could, understand the function of commission, the responsibility of commission, you know, kind of how the budgeting process works. And it's giant. It's really big. So there's a lot to learning and studying and working hard in the best interests of this entire county. And we love the input. Some of the questions and concerns that you have had have added to my understanding, and so thank you for that. We definitely didn't anticipate in our effort to figure it out and to do it according to the law, while there's an opportunity for all candidates to be able to make a decision and to have their campaign move forward as strong as they would like for it to. The only thing it disturbed that I'm aware of is the signature gathering, which started right off in the beginning of the year. And we have, in the public meeting last week, said that our intent is to absolutely make sure that the signatures that have been gathered can go toward whichever office is chosen by the candidate who has filed to collect signatures. So it is my desire to do the right thing for Davis County, the right thing for the candidate who has filed to collect signatures, and most importantly, or just as importantly as all of that, the right thing for Davis County into this future. When I mentioned that it has been contemplated for some time that we may need to discuss in 2022 the change to the budget that would be required for separating this office in the way that it used to be pre-1989, it would certainly make a difference in the budget. And every year there's lots and lots and lots of changes to the budget. Millions of dollars of changes to the budget, because we need to do the right thing for what we see in the county currently and what we can see for the foreseeable future. The foreseeable future is that Davis County report just barely came out from Kim Gardner Institute. Davis County is expected to grow by another 100,000 people within the next 20, 30 years or so. This county has grown tremendously. Every one of our 15 cities knows the pressure on growth in our local government. It's huge. And just as one of the comments earlier, there is so much work for each of those offices that I don't know how. Well, I do know how. One elected official has done the best that they know how to do the work. They've had two pretty amazing deputies, and they will constantly say that. They will constantly say that they are only able to fulfill the responsibility by state statute for two separate offices because of two remarkable deputies. And but the pressure, even just in elections, which Commissioner Stevenson commented on, in just 2 years' time, the requirements of the meetings involved at the state level during that budget season, and which is also, by the way, election season, the elected official simply can't be more than one place for those months at a time. And so I love that we can help to raise awareness at this time of what's involved. It's, as far as job descriptions, it's all outlined in state statute. 2 years ago in the budget meetings, we went through the pay of Davis County elected officials compared to other elected positions all around the county. Around the state. Some elected positions are part-time expected. Our elected positions are full-time expected. And that means we have to do the work that it takes to fulfill the state statute and in the best interest of this entire county. I believe it is no longer possible for one person to do those two offices. I think it's super clear. I could comment on the last cars that are in the parking lot almost every single day at this administration building. because I see it. So anyway, as far as other questions, I do like to address and make sure people get their questions answered. I think I've said some of this. I made a note when I was being thoughtful yesterday for today that the state law of SB 54, which has been in place for several years now, has impacted this season differently than it used to be. So SB 54 allowed for the gathering of signatures, which started all of this earlier for election, for campaigns. And so in January, you can file to gather signatures, right? But I don't think that the state law has necessarily caught up that there's a February 1st legislative deadline to make a change like this. Do you see what I'm saying? I wish we would have contemplated that. And by the end of the year, I said this in last week's public meeting, that this would have been really great to discuss in a public meeting last November, and I can say that I'm just sorry we didn't anticipate doing it then. I think it's fair and right for me to say that I'm sorry that I and others didn't contemplate it at that time. But by law and with SB 54 and what's allowed, there's a little bit of, perhaps just a little, it has a kind of aligned, right? I don't think there's anything else.
Commissioner Stevenson?
Yeah, there were two questions I just want to point out. One dealt with the salary that was being asked, is that on the elected people in the county, everyone makes the same amount of money, excluding the sheriff because of the responsibility and also the attorney. The clerk auditor, because the salaries were combined or the jobs were combined, that there was an increase as far as what the clerk auditor as a combined gets. Once we go to the clerk and to the auditor separate, those salaries will fall back to what the other elected people receive, so it'll all be consistent with what's there on it. The other question came up dealing with, I think somebody mentioned about the aspect of hiring part-time people or hiring more people within the department to be able to help. What has to be remembered is that when you are an elected person, there are certain functions that you can only do. You are the only person. Your deputy and that cannot do them. And this is part of what we've seen is that in this position, no matter who's in it, is that they are being pulled two different directions, and they're in a sense having a hard time being able to perform the function that by law they have to perform. It's not as though they can pass that on. And so these are things that we've looked at as far as it goes. So hopefully that answers all the questions.
Just real quick, Michelle, did you have a question? You were raising your hand before Commissioner Kamala.
I just wanted to make sure that the details of the agreement between Brian and I that we discussed yesterday were on public record.
Okay.
And I'm happy to, shall I do that? Yeah, that was what I was asking about.
So. Well, and then I think one other thing too is that with this, we had one individual who had filed for an office dealing against in the clerk auditor. There's only been one, and which is Michelle Sharp, and which we're greatly appreciative of that. And we've done everything we can, which according to Michelle, I talked to her last night, she's comfortable with the signature situation as far as being able to cover what she decides, which direction she wants to go as far as it goes. What I believe we are all hoping will happen now is we've separated this, that this will turn around and get more interest as far as people wanting to file. As we talk about the signatures on that, you know, other than Michelle, no one has even filed for signatures. You know, not even anybody internally has filed for signatures as far as that goes. So we've taken care of the candidate who is there, whose those signatures will count towards the office that is chosen. And now that we basically have two positions, which hopefully what we'll have is more people who will step forward and say that they want to do this if they still got time to get signatures, or they can go through the convention process, which is what Danielle's Republican Party, you know, I think really hopes for as far as that goes. So,
okay.
So we've been trying to, in a hard decision, try to cover as many bases as possible. So,
for the record, though, real quick, though.
Sure. So we can have that from Brian McKenzie. Two things into the record as requested by Michelle, and then also the response from the clerk's office. So, regarding the move to split the office of clerk auditor, for which I have placed my interest in running, I reached out and met with Ryan Cowley today in the Lieutenant Governor's office. He informed me that his thoughts of whether Davis County allows the signatures I have already gathered to be counted toward either the clerk or the auditor offices would fall to the commission, as it is their election. I am requesting that any action taken by the Davis County Commission tomorrow, which is now today, have language included in writing that any candidate currently declared for signature gathering in the clerk auditor race be given the option of applying their already gathered signatures for either office. And then this came from clerk's office. clerk's office official spoken with Lieutenant Governor's deputy clerk, I should just say, spoken with the Lieutenant Governor's office and asked for guidance on how to handle a potential situation in which the clerk auditor's office would be split, and we have a current candidate gathering signatures. Lieutenant Governor's office indicated that they could not provide a legal opinion, but pointed out that as this is a county office, this decision would be up to the county elected official, in this case, the clerk auditor. In discussing this matter with Curtis Koch, the desire was to proceed in the most fair manner possible as it relates to your situation. He has determined that if the commission decides to split the office, then the following conditions will apply. One, you would have 1 week from the date of the commission's decision to determine if you will be gathering signatures for the office of county clerk or for the office of county auditor, at which time you will need to come to the clerk's office and modify your intent to gather signatures paperwork. Number two, the clerk's office will provide you with new packet originals, which will reflect the new office of your choosing on the date you modify your paperwork. Number three, any packets that have their first signature dated prior to the date on which you modify your intent to gather signatures paperwork, which identify the combined office, would be counted toward the new office of your choosing. Number four, any packets that have their first signature dated on or after the date on which you modify your intent to gather signatures paperwork would need to be created using the new packet originals identifying the new office. Number five, any packets that have their first signature dated on or after the date on which you modify your intent to gather signatures paperwork, which still identify the combined office, would not be accepted. So we'll have to have those dates, you know, align with, yeah, which office. And thank you for your time. If you have any questions, please let me know. So.
Thank you, Commissioner Connell.
Yeah.
All right. So we have this ordinance before us, looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve item 7, which is the adoption of an ordinance separating the consolidated offices of County Clerk and County Auditor of Davis County. Terms will begin the first Monday in 2023 through the first Monday in 2027 of January.
Okay. The motion. Very good. And I just want to say that anyone who has reached out to me, I have either talked with in the public meeting or called separately. So if there are any remaining questions unanswered that someone has, feel free to reach out to me and I will call you or we can meet together. And I, with that, I second the motion.
All right, I'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Stevenson.
Aye.
Commissioner Kamala.
Aye.
Myself. Aye. All in favor?
Aye.
I guess that's it. Aye. All right, moving on. Okay, we'll move on to Community and Economic Development. Kent Anderson, Director.
Hello, Commission. You have four items for your consideration from the Community and Economic Development Department. Item number 8 is an approval of a contract, the Gymnastics Training Center, for the 2022 Optional and Excel State Gymnastics Meet. Terms receivable in the amount of $3,852.20, beginning 3/23/2022 to 3/26/2022. Item number 9 is a ratification of amendment to the real estate purchase contract for land with IGOG LLC, a Utah limited liability company. Terms beginning 1/8/2022 with a new settlement date of March 21, 2022. Item number 10 is an approval of a resolution to appoint Assessor Lisa Manning to the Davis County Boundary Commission. Terms beginning 1/25/2022 to 1/25/2026. Thank you, Lisa. And final item number 11, approval of a letter of concurrence and match agreement with Wasatch Front Regional Council to update the Economic Development Strategic Plan. Terms payable in the amount of $5,000 beginning 11/1/2022 to 6/30/2022.
Does Lisa know what she's getting herself into? Thank you, Lisa.
I make a motion that we approve items 8 through 11 presented to us by Kent Anderson, our Community Economic Development Director.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Kent, just to be clear on your last item, I assume it's 11/1/2021?
That's correct. Okay. Good catch.
That was a great catch. Yes. We were even given a heads up. Thank you for catching it anyway.
All right, moving on to our Health Director, Brian Hatch.
I could just take a quick second. I'm going to delegate these responsibilities to my new Deputy Director over Senior Services and introduce Rochelle Blackham to you officially as replacing Christy Cottrell, who retired just this last couple weeks ago. So we've appointed Rochelle in there and we'll let her do a trial by fire here.
Fantastic. And Rochelle, we even talked about you last week in commission meeting and announced your name and thanked Christy, even though it was past her last day. We're very excited to have you here.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. First two items for consideration are reappointments for two of our Davis County Senior Service Advisory Board. Both of them are Dr. Johnny Cook as well as Lorna Cosey. Both of them have had long-term careers focusing on serving others, specifically those in Davis County. I was absolutely delighted that they were willing to re-serve on our committee. And
Real quick, on some of these reappointments, how long have these individuals been serving previously?
It's a great question. So they're 3-year terms, and I do believe Dr. Cook and Lorna have served one term prior.
Dr. Cook has third, I believe.
Okay. Brian's correcting me. That's what he's here for. Dr. Cook has already served two prior.
After prior terms, okay. Just, you know, for future references, you know, kind of going off what the governor, or at least for my recommendations, have kind of mixed things up. So, I mean, there's some consistency there that have some longevity, but then also some time to new people should have the opportunity to serve too.
Yeah, so just, I agree.
As a comment.
Yeah, that's a great comment. And I think she calls it Lorna Kosai different. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, great people. Let's see, is that just...
And then the next.
And then the last one we have on there is item 14. So it's an amendment to an interlocal cooperation agreement with Salt Lake on behalf of Aging Adult Services. This amendment does extend our license for enhanced fitness to allow us to continue offering fitness classes to seniors.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Rochelle. I move approval of 12 through 14 as presented.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Susan Fulton.
Good morning, Commissioners. Item number 15 is release of a liability waiver, rights for participation agreement for the SCRAM program, which is the Secure Continuous Remote Alcohol Monitoring Program. No names mentioned again. It's a treatment program. The terms are... it's a receivable, and it's based on the tests and monitoring fees, and this begins 1/18 of 2022. Item number 16 is a renewal with Thomson Reuters for the Clear ProFlex Pro-Government Law Enforcement Investigator Plus software program subscription. This is a basically search engine that pulls many different avenues of information for investigation purposes. For law enforcement, and it's a payable in the amount of $11,324.52. It's a 3-year subscription, 1/25 of 2022 through 1/25 of 2025.
I'll make a motion. We approve items 15 and 16 presented to us by Chief Deputy Susan Wilson.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'll make a motion that we approve our regular commission meeting minutes from December 7th, 21, and also January 4th of 22, as written and presented to us.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn out of our regular commission meeting and go into a Board of Equalization meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration under auditor adjustments, you have a hearing findings report with 10 recommended findings. Under corrections, you have 8 veteran exemption tax abatements for the year 2021, and that is the entire register for January 25th, 2022.
I'll make a motion that we approve the property tax register as presented to us.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I'll make a motion that we go back into our regular commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, opportunity for staff comments real quick, anybody? I mean, even Clerk Auditor Neil. Yeah. Okay, Commissioner comments? Mr. Stevenson?
I have none.
Commissioner Kamala?
Nothing else, thank you.
Okay. As of note, we need some more snow. As we met with yesterday, Weber Basin. We took a trip up to Willard Bay, doing some of the dredging they're doing there, kind of getting all the silt. We're only at 40% capacity there right now with water and everything else in the bay, and there's not a lot of water still up there. So we are still in dire needs for a lot of snow, as this next year will be a problematic year. As has already been discussed, you know, we might not even turn on secondary water, and that's kind of the case that we're looking at again, is that secondary water will not be turned on because we just have enough for drinking water. So as a heads up for all the citizens of Davis County, this is going to be a fun year if we don't get some more, you know, let's add the COVID, let's add the no water. It's going to be a fun year. So anyhow, keeping those prayers out there for some snow or whatever means you can do, rain dances or everything else you can do to get some snow up there. We need it. With that, this meeting is adjourned.